We still do 7 NUFC Matters show a week for free. But if you want to help support NUFC Matters, then there are a few ways of doing it. Hit the like button on each live broadcast and video. This helps the channel grow. Hit the subscribe button and select the all notifications bell so you don't miss a single show. If you want to help us financially, then you can join the channel using this button with the membership starting at $1.99 a month. Or you can drop us a donation in the chat using a super sticker. We're also looking for sponsors. If you'd like your brand advertised on the flyers for the show and featured during the ad break, then email John at nufcmatters.com to arrange. Welcome to NUFC Matters. Geordie's here. Geordie's there. We've had a bit of a sabbatical on this show, a couple of weeks off just with me being away and doing various things, but and matches being played midweek. But Mitch is drying off. Stu is here. Kevin's here. George, Magnus, and Al.
Hi, everybody.
Mitch, I've got to ask you, are you okay with this horrendous weather that we're seeing in Dubai?
Oh, I've never seen nothing like it. The thing is, Dubai's not set up for rain anyway. They don't really think about drainage and sort of making the houses waterproof. It's more about making them able to take aircon and the sun and the heat. And usually every year you get 2 or 3 days where you get an absolute ton of rain, which is basically a year's rainfall. And you do get the odd flood here and there, and it can be a bit inconvenient. What we've had in the last 2 days is about 2 years' worth of rain in 48 hours. So a city already not really built for that just couldn't cope. There's still communities partly underwater. I gather there's one community not far away from me where half of it's had to be evacuated and people are being rescued from their first floors because they're worried about letting them go downstairs into the water because it might be electrified. It's been chaos. The roads have been chaos. I've just been downstairs and our internet's just really come back on here in the last sort of half an hour, and I've been downstairs in the basement helping people who couldn't get their cars out of the basement in time yesterday. So there's going to be quite a few insurance claims, shall we say, and my gut feeling is the words "act of God" may be used by said insurers on a regular basis, but let's see. It's been a bit mad, but you know what? Fair play to the communities, to the very low-paid workers who've done more than their bit to help everybody, some of them being stranded themselves. This is where you see the measure of people and people coming together, and some of that's been really heartening to see. In a city that's glitz and glam, it can sometimes be a bit much to see stuff like that. It's been really, really, really heartening. We got lucky at work. I think everybody saw the video I put on Twitter. That was our reception area yesterday at one point when one of the girls said to me, "Can you hear water, Doc?" And I sort of tiptoed around the corner and it was just unbelievable. Waterfall through the bloody lights of the lot. All the important equipment's been okay. We actually got the surgery back up and running today, and we should be back in normally tomorrow, which I think is a massive achievement from everybody at work. And so, yeah, it's been an interesting time. Felt like the end of days at one point, I've got to say.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And so, I think everything should start to come back to normal by the end of the week.
And that's all for the weather. And over to Steve.
he's like a modern day Wincy Willis, wasn't he? Yeah, I'm glad you're okay, mate. That's the most important thing. Big shout out to Steve Bennett as well, who's out in Dubai as well.
How did you miss some of this?
Well, I said before we started, what happened was, as you know, I left Dubai on Monday afternoon, and the storm come through Bahrain Monday evening, so I just got here. Been away from home for 2 weeks. So the place was all stuffy and everything else. I tried to put the AC on and it wouldn't work. Then the storm started. It was thunder, lightning, really strong winds, like 80 mile an hour winds, and then the rain. But we got, I think it was about 3 inches or so, it depends which part of Bahrain, but between 3 and 5 inches in 12 hours. But it seemed to just skirt past us. I know that's not as bad as it was, but it looks like Bahrain missed most of it. And then I would say Dubai took the brunt, but the worst was Oman, wasn't it, further up the coast?
Yeah.
It's one of those once-in-a-generation storms. But we got a message from work, because bear in mind it would have been my first day back in over 2 weeks, saying if you live in certain places, don't even try and come to work. But I was on the list of, yes, you have to attend. There you go.
Oh, good. There's the thing.
Yeah, get the British in, no problem. They're used to the...
We've got a campaign going on in the chat. Get George back on the top row. The reason he's not on the top row tonight is because we want to start with this ludicrous story that started circulating over the weekend, I would say, and then drifted into the early week, and more or less saying Amanda Staveley's resigned from the club is as daft a story as I've seen in a long time, Mitch. And one of the newspapers, which I read today, is literally used that headline and then used, all of the stories about the legal cases she's got involved in. It's all tenuous links, to why, people would believe the story now. You can see why people are running with the narrative when in essence, it's what we would describe, and most, rational people describe, as housekeeping. It's as simple as
absolutely.
That. She hasn't resigned from the club, Mitch.
That's exactly the word, is housekeeping. Many moons ago, we discussed this when we were talking about buying Mike Ashley out of the club. He had subdivided the club into many smaller companies to deal with different arms and bits. It was tied in with the fact that he then subdivided those companies between Mash Alpha and Mash Beta. It made it a nice little complicated web that was difficult to follow, particularly when he was hiving off assets to keep or sell on it and keep the money. So, for example, we know some club properties were sold and Mike Ashley took the money that never went back into the club. So, for example, we know that food and beverage outlets, there was a company set up for that. It was never really used. It's been dormant most of the time. And there was something like, it was something ridiculous, like 96 different companies. And one of the challenges we had is if you were getting a buyer to talk to Mike Ashley was, well, is what he's selling what he bought? And he wasn't selling all of the companies. He wanted to retain some of the companies. Ones with media rights and ones with image rights, and where you get the, basically what he did with Rangers, where he kept the badge. And so he's still making money off Rangers and their products with the badge on, even after he was long gone. And I think that was what his aim was. Now, thankfully, we were wise to a lot of that, and we got lots of the companies. Now, a lot of these companies are meaningless and dormant, but they had to have people in as directors. And it made sense for that to be people involved with Cantervale. So Amanda, Maidan, and the Rubens. Fast forward to now, we've got a situation where they have made a change in terms of putting money into the club, that it no longer has to be in the 80-10-10 proportion. That frees PIF up to put money into the club without having to worry about where the Rubens and the man down there that are getting their money from. And that's advantageous. It does, however, dilute their share proportion. But I would think in terms of what those shares are worth now, even with a diluted share, they've probably still made a lot of money out of that. And whatever happens going forward, and I think there is a suggestion going forward that they may eventually be eased to the side, it would be, I think, suicide for PIF to remove Amanda, Maydad and the Rubens from involvement with the club in one way, shape, form or the other going forward. Because I think she's a very useful face for PIF in many ways, in shapes and forms. So I think a lot of people are looking at this activity at Companies House and making 2 and 2 equals 4, but it's not. You're actually making pie. You're wide of the mark, to use an Alan Oliver phrase. There are things going on at Companies House that very much are housekeeping. It may be a nice distraction from other things that they're doing to front load and take advantage of the laws as they are and the laws that will soon change. But either way, to suggest that it's anything other than that, I think is fanciful at best. In fact, I would dare say it's being very deliberately provocative with regards to the fan base and getting people worried at a time when we shouldn't be worried. We should be looking at where we're at and looking at what we've been able to achieve with the injury list. Look at the Champions League, that good God, we were a natch chuff from being involved much further down the lane. And we're back in sort of control of what we're doing on the pitch almost now. And so a lot of this genuinely is white noise, should be ignored, and then going forward, the real substance will come out. And the real substance will be not as dramatic, not as fanciful, and not as worrying for Newcastle United going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Stu, you can reiterate what Mitch has said, really. It's, you deal in business and deal with contracts and stuff like that. I mean, this is, this is just waffle that the papers have come out with.
It is. It's
clickbait.
Well, clickbait is exactly the right phrase. But to be fair, I was guilty of falling for it as well, because as I mentioned there, I was 2 weeks away and I've been thrown back in and there's so much to catch up on. So I can only intermittently flit in and out of Twitter. And then I was tagged into something. I looked and I thought, oh, well, because we've said for a long time that the plan is to phase Amanda out, whether it's over 3 years or 5 years, but she can sell her shares at a higher price because the club's worth more. And that's her thank you for all the hard work she's done. And she would still retain like a non-executive role. So I just thought with a court case, and it was quick, but to be honest with you, Steve, the first thought that came to my head when I seen it, that it said that Amanda was off it, and Jamie Rubin, which was the bigger surprise, to be fair. He was off it, but Darren Eales remained as a director. I just had this vision, and I shouldn't really share this on a platform, but of Darren Eales standing in these boxer shorts in front of the mirror, channeling these inner He-Man saying, I have the power, you know what I mean? So he was like the face of the company in the UK until he realised that he was the plastic He-Man and the real power was moving his arms and legs from Riyadh. So that was my initial thought. But once I had time to dig into it and we bounced research off each other in our chat, it became clear that what they're doing is just as the phrase that Mitch mentioned there, and it was one that Steve Hastie said, it was housekeeping. You know, they're just taking the names of companies that have no value to them. You know, so it's downsizing in the right way. And I think that's probably the best way to explain it. So to put people's mind at rest, that Amanda is still a shareholder, although her shares will reduce over time, and rightly so, that she gains financially from it, because none of us would be sitting here talking about Newcastle challenging for Europe again if she hadn't been so persistent in her crusade to get this club taken over and released from the grips of Mike Ashley. And one of the things I'd like to say as well about another channel, another YouTube channel, I thought Adam Pearce did a very good piece earlier to allay some fears as well. And what he actually did was research. And unfortunately for me, I have a full-time job, but Adam had the time to do the research, and he put across a very good explanation of what these things actually meant. So I think credit where it's due. But there should, even if it was true, there's nothing to worry about. We know who's at the helm. We know what direction they want to take the club. And the percentages really don't mean that much to us. And initially, it could have been a way of freeing up, like there's going to be a cash splurge. And by diluting Amanda's shares, it made it more plausible. I think that's what I won't mention the newspaper, but I think that's what the first report was trying to allude to, that she's on her way out. But there's always positives in everything. And the main thing is that it's shown that Newcastle United, that we club in the Northeast, still can grab national headlines on a regular basis, even with things that aren't true.
Yeah, Kev, I mean, you know, it's frustrating for you, I guess, and the lads, you know, who live abroad, when, you know, you see a story, I mean, you know, come from a British newspaper, you probably wake up in a different time zone and go, oh, what's all this? And I mean, you know, there's been a roller coaster going on this story today. You know, what's your take on it? I mean,
I'm just on catch up. I'm 5 hours behind everybody and trying to make sense of it all and seeing what looked like a very well edited document that was put out, which is falsified and fraudulent, you could potentially say. So again, it's the lads of before me, yeah, Stuart Mitchell hit the nail on the head. It's, you know, clickbait, it's diluting everything. You know, it's business, things happen. Move on. I want to talk about football. And that's all I'll say, to be honest, because it's not my remit, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it is frustrating for everybody when you see stories like this. But we should be used to it, George, shouldn't we? We've got, you know, we've got such a big reputation.
Aren't we Newcastle United? And that's part of the problem. We're stuck up here in the Northeast, out on a limb, on our own. And when something nice happens, they miss it. If something bad happens, they're all here. All the ravens and vultures are circling St. James's Park to finish off all together. That's the bit that bothers me. What the lads, Neil and Stu, said it all, and I couldn't add to that, and I wouldn't want to. But what I will say is it annoys me intensely that it's all framed in a negative sense, totally negative towards Newcastle United. And We are getting a little bit used to it. But on the other hand, there's some of these people that write this stuff. I wish they would sit next to me in St. James's Park so I could give their shins a going over. It really is awful and negative. And it actually does the region down as well, because they're not just talking about a football club now. We're talking about a legitimate and important part of the city, an important part of the region, despite what the people down 13 miles down the road think. This is where it happens. This is where everybody wants to party, except the journalists in the south. They want to knock, 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 knock. Well, knock away, boys. It isn't going to happen, because we won't let it happen. And single out the one individual who from day one, with lots of help with people I see in front of me on the screen, has made it her mission to make Newcastle United great again. And she's well on her way. And to take it out of that lady is just, I mean, she's got broad shoulders. Anybody that could be a girl around in Prince Andrews must have broad shoulders, for God's sake. It is a pity. It's a shame. But what she needs to hear from us is, you know, she's still our Amanda, and that's all that matters.
Magnus, I think, you know, when you're a Newcastle fan, you get used to these kind of stories, don't you?
Well, yeah, we've gone through a lot of negativity before and lots of bad media. And to be honest with you guys, I only saw the headline, so I was slightly worried about the issue. And I really didn't have time to read the whole article. You know, from I saw something about it in Chronicle. I guess they were trying to make sense of it as well. But I'm kind of glad that I didn't waste any energy or time on it after hearing what you guys had to say. All day long, I was more devastated about the news on Joe Willock and our midfield. Negative press is always going to happen. It's really annoying that if they're creating stuff just to get clickbait. But if this is just I'm not a massive businessman. On the other hand, they are. So any movements like this. They are well within their power and know what they're doing, and I'm sure this was just a typical sort of action that needed to be done in the whole scene of things, you know. So in the process, I still trust and I hope this was just a silly news clickbait that doesn't really even matter.
I'll believe your views on the story that surfaced this morning.
Well, as a mag, as you said, lads, I used to it. It's always continuous every season with these nonsense. Just to selling the paper, putting some words, and for me, I barely have time to watch games, to read this stuff. So I'm not really giving much more attention.
Okay, go on.
Something to that. Listen to everybody, especially Magnus, saying, "Oh well, I saw the headlines and that made us worry." That's what they want. That's exactly what they want, mate.
Yeah.
And the problem is, the other thing you've got to take time to do, and not a lot of people have, is to go to a journalist and question and say, "Well, what's his agenda?" So there's one I could name, and I won't name him, who does stir the pot when it comes to Newcastle United. I know he's a Newcastle United fan, very much a Newcastle United fan, but he's also very heavily involved in the Labour Party, very, very left-wing, and has very, very anti-Saudi thoughts and feelings. And that can't help but come out in some of the things he writes. So his agenda then is always going to be negative towards anything that Saudi does. And so we have to take that on board when that's written. And In reality, do I all have time for that? Not really. I'm a geek. I'd probably make time for that. But there's not many people do. And that's what they rely on. We have to spend our time keeping it real, nudging people in the right direction and saying, look, some of this is white noise and they're getting out of it what they want. They're getting the clicks, they're getting the hits, they're getting the traffic through the websites these days. It's not about selling newspapers these days, let's be honest about it. And so it's really very difficult. It's very difficult for any fan, not just sat worldwide, but even sat in the region who isn't really up with it. No wonder they're going to suddenly think, bloody hell, there's a rabbit off here. Yeah, there's something going terribly wrong just at the right time. Isn't this typical Newcastle? Typical Newcastle. You know, we're going to win something and World War III starts, and that's what happens to Newcastle. And that's what they want. And that's where we've got to sort of... Everything we talked about years ago about geopolitics and the minutiae and how things are being framed still applies.
Yeah, very true. Very true. I do want to take this question that I was sent on X this morning, and that was from Paul. He said, I've got a question for the panel. With Joe Willock being rested until the end of the season, do you worry this could be a situation like Botman? In the end, resting him didn't work. He had to have an operation. We can't afford to wait until the season starts to see if rest is the cure, or can we? Cheers, Paul. Yeah, Mitch, I mean, you know, it's natural, isn't it, for Newcastle fans to worry about injuries, especially after what happened with Botman. Is rest the right thing for an Achilles, Mitch?
After this season in its entirety, you know, the next to us in the injury table has something like a third of the minutes less missed than we have. It's ridiculous. With regards to, I find the situation with Willock was really complex because it was a knee problem, then it was an Achilles problem, and then it just went quiet and nobody said anything. And did he need rest or did he need surgery? And then he's come back and he's looked really, really good. And now we're back to, you know, well, is it rest? Is it this? For me, again, I take my attitude from American sports and how they deal with injuries in American sports. And Kevin probably can input on this one. If there's surgery to be done, they do the surgery. Bang. Simple as that. They don't do rest very often. And the players who do go through that tend to come back and get re-injured. And I'll name a player, tight end, called Darren Waller, who's probably up there with the elite group of tight ends on his day, but he's had two seasons where his hamstrings and his knees have been absolutely paggered. And somebody said 2 years ago he needed an operation. Well, funnily enough, he's just had that operation in the close season. And so that's the American attitude. They're very, very much more hands-on and pragmatic to somebody missing time through surgery, because they would rather have the finished article back and they know what they're getting back in a certain time period than fanning around with rehab if it isn't the way to go. And I'm not saying that's not the way to go with Joe Willock. We don't really know what the injury is. The one thing I would say, if we've got something we can look back in the past at, where an Achilles was fannied on with, Stephen Taylor. And his went entirely in the middle of a game, if you remember. And that was him gone for 8 months. So it's not something you should fanny around with, in my opinion.
He's going to be a big miss, Stu, but I think he wasn't really the player that he had been, was he, when he came back? There was clearly an issue there. And the fact that he had an injury and then picked up another injury as he was recovering, that's really what's written him off.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, Steve. It's not a case of being the player he has been. I think they're taking this precautionary measure to make him the player they want him to be.
Yeah.
And the extra rest will do him good. It's an Achilles. He has a languid running style. He does have that burst of pace. We know he carries the ball. And he's a different type of footballer to just about anyone else we've got in the whole squad for the way he runs. And it is explosive. You know, you could be standing still for a long time. A long time in football. And all of a sudden, he's off running with the ball at his feet for 30 yards, pivoting one way, then the next. So it's. I think with what's happened during the season, the amount of injuries we had, and as the season draws closer, I think they'll be more precautionary than risk. And it makes sense. You know, where we'll finish the season is where we'll finish. It shows they've got enough trust in the players that are currently available and the ones that are close to coming back to finish the season in a high enough position to qualify for Europe. Then what would the point in being risking them to put them out for 8 months if we can just let them come back and have a full rehab and be strong in the summer? Now, there was also talk about are they resting them to sell them? Well, no, for me, Joe Willock he's not one of the blue chip players. And he's probably not one of the first starting 11 if everyone was fully fit and we get the new acquisitions, at least 3 or 4 new acquisitions, he wouldn't be in the first team. But he's a very, very valuable squad member. But again, that goes cap in hand, that the fact that he is valuable and he's younger. You know, I can't see them sacrificing someone like him because of his age and then have to spend probably more to get someone with equal or lesser ability in. So I do believe that Eddie Howe has a big future for Joe Willock as part of the squad. And I think that they're just treating him with kid gloves now. It's easier to do it that way than run the risk that there's been too many being injured over the stage of the season. So let's get him fully fit. And as Mitch said there regarding how they do it in American football, we'll know. We'll get a prime Joe Willock back. And if he can break in that first team, then that's a better Joe Willock than we've seen previously. So we've got to trust them and know what they're doing with him.
Yeah, I mean, do you worry about it, Kev, a little bit? You know, the point Paul was trying to make is, you know, we rested Botman and then, you know, he came back, he wasn't the same player, and then he's gone out and now he's had to have an operation. I mean, do you get where Paul's coming from?
Absolutely, and just to follow on with Mitch, from the United States perspective, it's not just NFL, and it's every sport. You get put on an IL or an IR, which is the injury list or an injury reserve list for a specific amount of days. To then fans know, okay, he's out for 10 days. If that date, them 10 days expire, however long it is, whatever the rules are within certain sports, then as fans, as the media, the whole country knows, this person's going to go and get a surgery done. Then, I mean, we've had a guy here for the Atlanta Braves, he's done a tendon in his elbow and he's had his surgery done 2 days later and he's out for the rest of the year. But at least we know, then the club can then rebuild. They're not going to go down the recovery road because then that's just a longer process. It could be worse for him. So that's my, again, as a, not I'm saying a doctor or whatever, the makeup of the lower leg is complex. You've got a lot of fast twitch muscle fibers within that. So if you, within your calf and your psoas and all the rest of it, and then in your Achilles, which hold it all together, if one of them goes and it becomes weak, then that puts a lot of stress on the Achilles tendon into the knee. So for me, I would rather go to the American road of get him under the knife, and actually explore what's going on, because then we know the recovery process, we know the recovery time, regardless of the quality of player. But it's all about the player. It's all for the betterment of him. Versus, yes, he won't want to be involved in the team and the 25 man squad moving forward as a squad player, even in the starting 11. But if we get this done early, then we can move forward. If we drag this out, kick the can down the road, and see what happens in the summer or in the next year and next season, then we could be worse off, because we don't know in terms, do we need a replacement of what Stu said, of similar or better than spend? There's an expenditure. So if we have surgery now or an exploration into or whatever, I would prefer that road than, because look what happened to Sven Botman. You got a misdiagnosis. Now he's out for 12, 14, however long months. At least we know. Now we know, then we can move on. That's my issue. That's my problem. I'd rather get the problem solved, and then we can deal with that and live with it and take the news and develop another young player coming in or whatever that looks like. So, yeah, I would go do exploratory surgery or other holistic interventions that you could go down. There's multiple different ways you could look at it, but we need to know what actually is going on, and I prefer that, and then that makes me more comfortable versus the unknown.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point you made there. Clinton, yeah, I just want to answer this because the comments are coming thick and fast tonight. Yeah, well, there's going to be lots of changes, Clinton, more corporate areas, 100%. I couldn't say what's going to happen, but yeah, a lot of the staff are telling us that is what is going to happen, 100%. George, Joe Willock and the injury, have we done the right thing taking them out of the firing line now? And, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, we've got to rely on the physios, you know, and the guys at the club.
He can thank his lucky stars who haven't got the same manager as we had a year or 2 years ago, because either had him doing the mini Olympics, you know, like he did with all of them. In fact, one or two of these injuries, I begin to wonder if some of that wasn't stored up when Bruce used to make them do this mini Olympics, you know, 100 metres, 200 metres, 400 metres, 1500 metres, 3000 metres. And I used to see some of them sitting at the bottom of my garden and my fence, heaving their guts up because some of them weren't built to do that. You know, Dwight Gale, whose legs were absolutely knackered, and Bruce had him running thousands and thousands of meters, the last thing he should have been doing. So he can thank his lucky stars he's not in that. And absolutely right to take him out of the thing, and Neil and Stu and Kevin have nailed it, really. We need to know. It's no good ifs and buts. The difference with him this one, though, the Botman is, Botman made a decision himself that he didn't want operation. And that had to come back to bite him in the bum, to make him aware of what was happening. And that was sad. But at least even he knows where he's going now. And by the way, congratulations to him and his girlfriend, because they've got a nice baby on the way as well. So
not wasting his time, George.
Pardon?
Not wasting his time off.
No, girl, like lady, why should he? Never mind. No, that's you're getting me off piste now. Yeah, it's right and to do it right, and if it's 8 months now or how many ever months it is, 6 months now, we get it wrong, it could be another whole season, and that would be an absolute disaster for him and a real disaster for us, because as others have said, he carries something that some of the others don't have. He has the skill with the lightning pace. I wish somebody would find a yard of pace for young Miley, the sort of pace that Willock's got, and would have another world star in my hands. But know that they're doing the right thing and making sure it's right this time. No ifs and buts. And it may be that he's been guided, and people have whispered in his ear about what happened to Botman as well. So no, they're doing the right thing, Steve. It could risk his entire career. Over the years that I've been supporting, a number of very, very talented players we've lost by injury that really shouldn't have happened. You can run through them yourselves. George Dalton, Tony Green, you can run through them all. Really, really talented players. And I would argue that some of that's because we didn't just get the thing right, where this is playing safe. Well, let's play safe and get it right for the lad.
Yeah, Magnus, he's been a great signing, Joe Willock, but, it's quite clear that we haven't had the same Joe Willock, that we signed. I mean, remember when he came in, he scored, seven goals in a row. Not many players have done that. And, he was a vital cog in Eddie Howe's early teams. But we haven't seen the real Joe Willock. So a period of rest is very important for him, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll never forget that we were kind of in a relegation battle when he came into the team. Steve Bruce was the manager, and he came and scored, like you said, seven goals in a row. And I'll never forget his contribution to the team during really, really rough times. I understand why sometimes during this season, what do we have, 11, 12 players still out? I can understand why in some occasions, like the story of Sean Longstaff and being injected, and we're just really scrapping together to get a full squad of senior players. However, this is still a person, and he's a great guy, and we should think of their health first and foremost. Hopefully we are getting Trippier back, and we should be able to have at least the midfield right now is pretty much auto picked. It's Elliot Anderson, Sean Longstaff, and Bruno. However, I guess Matt Ritchie might need to put in a shift, and then Lewis Hall might have to go up a little bit further with a bit of a luck, maybe we're getting Trippier back. But first and foremost, we need to take care of their health long-term, whether we are thinking of keeping... I mean, he's only 24 years old, and I would very much like him to stay. On the other hand, if they're planning to, whichever we decide to do, sell or keep him in the squad, we need to think of his health, and that should be number one above all, health of the players and hope for the quick recovery, because we've already dealt with, so many injuries this season. Think of him first and hope for the best.
Yeah, I'll believe Joe Willock. A question that I got asked earlier on by Stephen Kennedy. He said, should we consider selling Willock and perhaps investing the money in somebody like Gibbs White in the summer? He said that Willock always seems to be injured since he's been here. Great player on his day, though, but how frequent? You know, what's your views, Al Waleed, on Joe Willock? I mean, should we get him back to his best? And is he a vital player? I mean, Eddie Howe says he is, but Eddie Howe very rarely says anything about players that's negative. He's not going to, is he? He's the manager. He wants to back his players. He wants to be positive. What would you do with Joe Willock?
Well, Steve, this season is exceptional regarding the pressure. We weren't ready for the whole. To compete with all these champions. So I believe Joe Willock, as you speak about Joe Willock, he did great this season. He have a great run. I'm not worried much about the injuries because for me, I have we all have explanations and reason for these injuries because we play so many games with the same lineup over and over. And let's say, how much will sell Willock, for example, 25 million as same as we bought. So I don't think this is really an issue here. I think there will be a review. Some players will go, some players will come in. But I don't think Willock will be my first option. Injuries this season... maybe the pressure of getting back Willock, because we are so we have so many pressure, so we treat the player quickly and quick return. I think this quick return causing this repeated injuries. So that's my opinion on this.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. We'll play out with the ads because we've lots to say on the Amanda Staveley situation, etc. So we'll play out with the ads tonight. It is good to see Trippier and Wilson back in training. Tom, you are right. Talks of Joe Linton perhaps being back for the final game as well. Of course, we've got Nick Pope to come back. Newcastle's going to have a strong squad going into the final half a dozen games. Let me take Roadblock as well. Thank you for the donation, mate. That'll go into the Malverno Wine Fund. Believe it when the club says it's official. Everything else is probably bollocks. Yes, I would agree with that. Wholeheartedly, Roadblock. So a point well made. I have got time to squeeze a couple of these in. I didn't ask for it, but people are used to it on a Wednesday night that we ask George. Okay, just a couple, George. Tim says, question for George. Who does he fancy for the European Champions League final and winner? Two teams we played in the group of death both got through.
Yeah. Manchester City or PSG?
Yeah, Man City for me. I think they'll do the unofficial double. I think they'll do the Premier League and the Champions League again. We did have another one. Who is your all-time hero in life, George?
In life? Oh,
in life.
Dear me.
It could be a footballer, I suppose.
Well, you know the answer I'd give it was just football. It would be Jackie Milburn, but in life, it's got to be a writer. It's Grapes of Wrath. Come on, who was it? John Steinbeck. Anybody wants to read a history of a man who did everything? John Steinbeck did everything and still had time to write books. So if you want an all-time hero, that's my all-time hero.
There you go. That keeps your fans happy, George. Okay, I love this one. That's why I'm going with it. I know there's lots of people asking about the ground video. Mark Taylor says, have you seen the video showing the options for St James's? I think we'll dig into that on the Amigos. I haven't had time to watch it. I've got a busy week this week, but I will make a point of watching that video. And I think we'll start with that on Friday with the Amigos. Has the defence been better while Trippier has been out? What a great question, Mitch. Has it?
Stats would suggest otherwise. I think losing Trippier and Pope have been more impactful to our back four than we realise, even though you then can factor in the individual errors that Trippier made through what, in hindsight, turns out would have been a very difficult time for him personally. I think the defence has to be more organised without him in, because there's nobody else like him when he's in the side. The way our formation has worked and worked very successfully has been on the basis that when he pushes forward, well, back four effectively slides across and becomes a back three when we're in possession, and then reverts to a back four when we lose possession. And we've not really been able to fully accomplish that with him out of the team. Although Tino Livramento really does bring similar attributes to the table, but we've been deprived of him for periods of time too. So I think it's very difficult to pin it on, is Trippier in or out being the, is the defence better or not? I think I'd like to see the stats though. I think the stats would belie that.
It's an interesting one, isn't it, Kev? Trippier has been wonderful with assists, but I think, you know, like every player, he had a little spell, didn't he? I mean, which unfortunately for us coincided this with us going out of the Carabao Cup at the hands of Chelsea through his mistake, and then there was a couple of more. But that was at the time, and again, we've had no official confirmation, but we're led to believe, you know, there was problems in his personal life. What that was, we'll probably never know. But there was something certainly niggling away at him, which did affect not just his performances, but the back fours.
Exactly. So allegedly, whatever was going on obviously affects player performance. I mean, that's just natural within anybody, you know, with work life or anything. But I agree with Mitch in terms of I would like to see stats and numbers and with or withouts and things like that. And yes, we go to a three when he bombs down the right hand side and all that sort of thing within a tactical sense. But I think from a leadership standpoint, regardless of what's going on outside of the white lines, I think he's a massive miss. Yes, Dan Burns stepped up to the plate essentially and led that back line brilliantly along beside Fabian Shaw. Is a three, like I said, I've said for weeks and months that that's the way I think we should go, but it was needs must in terms of who we're playing against and whatever. But yeah, it'd be very interesting to see. I don't think it's a massive miss essentially, but he brings a lot to the table and what in his performances from dead ball situations. Again, that would be another great start to see how many actually contributions he's had from a dead ball and all those other things. So, again, it's just unfortunate that he's picked up this injury. Yes, we've went on a little run where it doesn't look like we've needed him at all. But at the same time, we do need him in and around the dressing room, in and around on the park itself to get somebody by the scruff of the neck and say, hey, this is a standard that we need to play at, and plus his personal performance as well. So again, it's a double-edged sword type of question where do you need him or do you not? You know, but again, with Tino Livramento, he's a brilliant fill-in or the next one to fill his Trippier's boots in terms of moving forward. But again, we haven't seen enough of him. But when we have seen him, I think he contributes a little bit more. His exuberance, his youthfulness, his desire and all those traits. But so we'll see what happens when Trippier is fully fit. If he reverts back to the good old 4-3-3, or does he keep the same? So that's the problem. That's a wonderful problem for Eddie Howe to have. That's what he gets paid the money for, to do and tinker around with things and get the best out of players. So, Again, it's unfortunate for the player, but the team's been pretty successful over the length of time that he's been out. So, again, did he revert to like a squad player role next season, or, you know, to peter out his career? Or does he continue start and Tino Livramento fills that role? So, again, those are the decisions that the club have to make moving forward. So, yes, a miss, but not really a big miss. It's a balancing act with that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens moving forward.
Al-Waleed, big decisions is what Kev's talking about there, and he is right. Trippier, has the defence been better or worse?
Well, it depends on the interval of the season. When we have a pressure, Trippier was playing most of the games, but now we are less pressure. We just have, I think, 7 or 6 game left. So it's different circumstances. So, but for my personal opinion, no, I don't agree. I agree it's the best. It's with Trippier.
Okay, Stu.
Well, questions like this, it frustrates me. It really does. It's like we seem as a fan base to have short-term memory loss. It was only a couple of months ago everyone was exulting how great Kieran Trippier is, and he's been the best signing we've had. Now all of a sudden he's shit. We don't need him. Like, is there no middle ground with it? So on the basis that we've had a couple of clean sheets without Trippier in the team. Does that mean that we don't need Joe Linton, we don't need Tonali, we don't need Botman, we don't need Pope? You know, it's annoying. I mean, I think what happens is when he has been such an inspiration since he signed, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's offered a contract extension and he sees out his days with us, whether he does or not. But I'm quite sure the way they've been tying players up during the course of this season that they would want someone like him. Maybe where we've been a bit greedy, because we were very reliant on Trippier, especially in his first season with us. Especially when he first came, and he showed his class and his leadership. But we've had a glimpse of the future with Tino Livramento. So it's like, oh, but we don't need that as much now, and Kraft can do a job. And Kieran Trippier is still an international class right back. And he's injured, and I think we should give the fella a bit more respect. And I'm not the Kieran Trippier fan club, but at the same, well, I am, but I'm not leading it. At the same time, we have to think, well, two clean sheets against a team with no heart and against a team with not much to play for doesn't mean that we can just discard people like Kieran Trippier. Also, don't underestimate the role that he's played in the advancement of Tino Livramento. Positional sense, showing him how to defend in certain positions, how to use his touch, how to use his body, everything else. He's been such a big signing for us. I think it's, sorry for having a little bit of a moan, but I think it's a bit disrespectful saying we're better off without him. We've craved players of his quality. And as I said earlier, we were saying he's probably the best right back Newcastle's ever had in our lifetime. Then he's been the best signing we've ever had since the takeover, and now we don't need him. I can't fathom it. I'm sorry, but it doesn't make sense to us.
I would agree. With you. I mean, he's been the most influential signing that Eddie Howe has made for me. Look, we've made some bloody good signings. But we go back to when Newcastle were staring relegation in the face, and we played, Cambridge in the FA Cup and got knocked out. I remember being, at that game. I went in the Gallagher Strawberry Corner actually for that game, and yeah. I was amazed at his leadership quality. Yeah, we got beat. We got knocked out the FA Cup. That wasn't our focus. We had to stay up. But I just saw something which I hadn't seen for many years, and that was organisation, heart on his sleeve, talking, encouraging, and yeah, listen, he's been a wonderful, wonderful player. I don't want him to leave. I want him to stay I want him to here next season. I'm not sure if he will be. We've heard lots of rumours and lots of stories that he could potentially go in the summer. If he does, he goes with our best wishes.
Sorry, mate. If, and I say if rather than when, we qualify for the Europa League, it gives us more games. There's a higher chance of advancing further rounds. We'll have a bigger squad. It's quite realistic that we would play 60 games next season. Neither him nor Tino Livramento would play 60. But if we said they had 30 games each until the final pass of the baton goes into the following season, I would take that all day long, and then have Trippier. Who would not want his enthusiasm, his experience running like one of the youth teams or having a say with the reserves or something like that, or even part of the coaching team? You know, the guy's a diamond, and we shouldn't just discard people like that as quickly. And I'm not saying you have. I'm saying it's what we need to be keeping people like that for everything he does on the pitch. Before he got injured, you had the best assists in the league.
He did, yeah.
In Europe.
Won two games without Bruno, so should we get rid of him? I can't get my head around why would one even be discussing getting rid of a best players.
That's social media mentality, though. That's it. You know what I mean? It is social media mentality. I think it's a great question because it's got us debating.
It's got us debating it.
That's why it's a good question. That's why I picked it out tonight. George?
Well, who was the first to believe in the project? He's playing for a top European club, probably well paid, and probably in a happy place. And he risks all of that to come to a club that's more than likely every pundit in the country, every pundit in Europe was saying, well, Newcastle United are down. They'll never win another match now. And he volunteered. He came to help with all of that. And we shouldn't let somebody like that go. And what's he like on the pitch? Well, look, he controls what happens when he's on the pitch. Because look at the antics at the penalty at Nottingham Forest. He took the ball away and made sure that the Nottingham Forest goalkeeper thought he was going to take the penalty and then put it down and then Isak put the ball in the back of the net. Well, you know, I keep saying he's on here. We need streetwise player. And there's one thing about Kieran Trippier, he's streetwise. And I agree with Stu. I would love Kieran Trippier to be here for the next 5 years, never mind 1 year, and somehow find him a place to work with the youngsters to share his experience and his influence that he's got. Look where he is when there's any bother. Who's first to go running to protect his mate? Kieran Trippier. Get a new player who's first to go and meet them in the dressing room. Kieran Trippier. There's a job for him to do there straight away if he keeps going. Let's keep Kieran Trippier here. As to whether it's been better since he was out, I don't think so, and I don't think the stats would back it either. And as for wearing his heart on his sleeve, well, sometimes he wears it too hard, and that's how he got into the row with the fans at Bournemouth. I can live with that. It's somebody that really believes. If he didn't really believe, I'd be like everybody else. I'd want him on his bike. But please, if you're listening, Kieran Trippier, don't go anywhere. Not for the next 10 years, if you like. I think there's something to bottle in Kieran Trippier and make the best of it for Newcastle.
I just want to point out as well, Alan McKenzie's had trouble in the chat all night, and it was me who mentioned how to fix it. So just let Jules and Spenny know. Magnus, Kieran Trippier, should he stay or should he go? It was the question. I think it's 99% of the people in the chat have said, look, he's quality, keep him. Probably 1% saying, well, he's past his sell-by date, I would bring somebody else in, but I would keep him, mate. I'd keep him as long as we can, as long as he can kick the ball.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, he's still not lost any of the attributes that I wish for in a right back. And I haven't forgotten how he came in. You know, with regards to Kieran Trippier, he improved other players around him. I think Emil Kraft has learned a lot from him, you know, and with his encouragement, you know, it was a great help when we were in the relegation battle, even though he was on the crutches, you know, running around with the team absolutely everywhere. I want to, as far as I know, his contract expires in 2025. I would like to see an extension for at least another 2 years. And hell, why not make him the next Thiago Silva kind of guy? Stay in there until he maybe even, was it Mitch touched up on? Make him a part of the coaching staff, and he's a leader of a man, and he's only going to keep on improving and bringing his experience teaching the younger generations coming into the team. Long may it continue, and I don't think Emil Kraft would have been half the player he was without working with a guy like Kieran Trippier. So long may it continue, and I want him going absolutely no place, that is how I feel about the matter.
Good stuff. Magnus, just give a shout out to your Facebook page, please, mate, just so people can subscribe to it if they want to get in touch.
Oh, yeah. The Facebook page is, should I just send it? It's called Right now it's called the you're not going to understand me saying this, Stirlingsman,
if people search up Newcastle United Iceland, it's there, mate. That's how I found it.
Please feel free to get in touch. We are only getting bigger. We had a meeting the other day. There's talks about having a fan game in Newcastle next season with other fan clubs, and please, if any of you guys that are watching find yourselves in Iceland, get in touch. We can both give advice, and if you're just there for a weekend, come and see the game with us.
Good stuff. Excellent stuff. Great show. Thanks to George, Stu, Magnus, Alwaleed, Kevin and Mitch. I'm going to be back tomorrow night. I'm going to do an hour's Q&A around about 7:30. Got a busy week, as I say, this week, but I will pop on and do an hour's show. Amigos, usual time, 5:00 on Saturday morning is a pre-recorded show I did with Gibbo, a bit like the Super Mac one last night, which was live. This one with Gibbo is excellent. We covered some great points, and great to have the two of them just being able to chat, because obviously the two of them in tandem is great, but nice to have them just have an hour to themselves once in a blue moon. So we've managed to do that. And then the professionals on Sunday. What time, Stu? What time, Mitch? 6:00?
Back to normal.
6:00. Yeah,
The Sunday evenings going again.
Six o'clock on Sunday then for the professionals. And we just want to give a shout out to Alan, who has had problems in the chat. Was itching to tell you all to get Isaac booked for Golden Boot and the tune to qualify for Europa. Got 16-1 and 6-4. He says, please bet.
Nice
please bet responsibly if you do decide to bet. And if you're Tenali, don't do it. Go on, George.
One more trippier thing. If he stays, it'll keep Emily happy.
There we go. Yeah. He's always going to get it.
One more thing about Trippier. You know, when a blue chip player like him is out, then the rest of the players are going to work that much harder. And that's what they absolutely did. You see what's going on in Chelsea and Erik ten Hag storming out. I've seen a lot of togetherness lately, and I hope to see more of it in the last few games.
You know what, Magnus, with the backs against the wall and the us and them mentality, there's no team better than Newcastle. And I think people like, you know, people in the press, people on podcasts, people all saying that's our season over. That was just what Eddie Howe needed, to go into the dressing room and go, everyone thinks it's over. Because he's mentioned it. He knows that's what we were saying. He knows that's what people were saying. Not everybody. I certainly said it. Certainly some people on this panel didn't. Stu's always said we're going to qualify for Europe. I said the season was over. I don't apologise for that at all, because at the time that's how I felt. But you know what? If that's helped Eddie Howe, go in the dressing room and say, you've heard what they're saying, get out there, get your fingers out your backside and go and prove these people wrong. And I tell you what, there's no better team than Newcastle United when that happens. But great point, that Magnus. Great show, lads. As I said, I'm back tomorrow night, 7:30. Have a great day. I'm going to play out with the ads. Take care.
Good to see everybody.
Cheers, lads.
A big thanks to all our sponsors, Skips and Bins. Telephone 0800 25 45 25 3. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com. Website skipsandbins.com. Easy contract, free and pay-as-you-go waste collection. Thanks to Mr. Vicky's Sauces, handmade in Cumbria. Their website, mrvickys.co.uk. Telephone 01768 210102. Or email info@mrvickys.co.uk. Thanks to United Group Travel. There are no strangers in our tours, just friends you haven't met yet. Their website, unitedgrouptravel.com. Email beverly.ugtl@gmail.com. Telephone 01670 632 460 or mobile 0791 666 4174. Thanks to Media Arts for the technical side of things. And you can also find us as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or other podcast providers. You can subscribe to the channel by hitting the subscribe button underneath this video. Hit the all notifications bell so you don't miss a show. Hit the thumb up to like the channel and click share to your social media. If you want to join the channel, then click join for as little as $1.99 a month. If you want to become a member for a one-off £25 payment, email John at nufcmatters.com or go to membership at the website nufcmatters.com. If you've got a smartphone, hold your camera over the QR code and it'll take you straight there. We also help the food bank on this channel. Go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk to the match day bucket and you can leave a virtual donation today.